is the Tom Likas Show.
I'm not Barack Obama.
Hey, John, glad to hear that.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Yes.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. This is a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Every Tuesday, we have a bonus hour. And we are joined in this particular episode by criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, who's sitting right opposite me. Good to see you.
Thanks for coming in. Great to see you, Tom.
And we were going to remind everybody that obviously if you're looking for free legal advice, if you've been accused of committing a crime, whether or not you did it, you obviously are going to need an attorney. And you know, I've been telling this for years before Adam was coming in here and doing shows with me, that you do not lose money hiring an attorney, and it is never a mistake to hire a good attorney. Never.
Damn right.
Never. And, you know, I myself...
Going to court without a lawyer is suicide, Tom.
I myself... Well, I've never gone to court without a lawyer, and I've never... the one time I screwed up, I was 21 years old, and I was getting my first divorce, and my wife and I had the same attorney.
Oh, dear.
Something I would never do today. Getting married, that is. But also having the same attorney would not do that today. But it's the one time that I screwed up. And I manned up. I admitted my mistake. I realized what I did wrong. And now, whether it's reading documents that I have to sign that are dense with verbiage I don't understand, or whether it's a dispute with a neighbor, or whether it's a moving violation where I say, guess what, either I didn't do it or the cop couldn't possibly have known that I did that or whatever. I always hire an attorney now. I always do it, and I never regret it. And,
well, your whole life is learning by doing, let's face it.
You know what? Most of us learn by doing. Some of us, even when we put our hand over the flame and we get burned, we put our hand over it again.
Oh, dear.
We have a lot of listeners like that who put their hand over the flame a second time, even though they know the last time they got burned badly.
But you know, Tom, I've always taken this from you that being called an asshole was a badge of honor, definitely. But in the past couple of days, I was talking to somebody and they called me a bully.
You?
Yeah.
Why?
Another lawyer, a lady lawyer.
Called you a bully? Well, of course, that word. We talked about this.
No, I know. You were just talking about it in the last hour or two.
Yes. That is a word now that women are using to stop any behavior they don't like.
Well, I think they always like to throw things back at you and you don't have an answer, and I'm not really sure what to say. Well, what do you say? Yeah, I am. You know, because when they call you an asshole, I go, I'm proud to be an asshole.
That's one of the ones with no right answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like, do you still beat your wife? Remember that old one? Do you still beat your wife?
Right.
I once called, because I was a crank caller to radio shows from way back, and I once called a politician who appeared on a talk show, and I said, "I it's so great to hear you. I had no idea the mafia was accepting homosexuals in the right." How do you respond to that?
Oh, dear.
There is no response to that.
Oh, you got you bad.
That's right. I love those where there is no good response.
I had a couple of people say, I understand, obviously, you're having a really bad day, you know? So, like, what do you say to that? That kind of puts you in the same corner. But being called a bully, it's like being called a racist.
Well, when someone says that to me, I get them right back, and I say, my day was going great until I ran into you.
You turned it all around against me.
Right. Now, how do they respond to that?
I don't know what they want.
That's exactly right.
Now, Tom, I always try to make the show fresh, you know?
Yes.
But there's a couple of pointers that I've got to talk about, seriously.
Yeah.
I talked to a guy in the past couple of days, and, you know, it's the classic story. He calls me. He got a DUI. He's just been released from jail in the past few hours. Very emotional. He's very upset. And it's exactly what we're talking about. He understands the issues that it's going to affect his career and his life. He's never been arrested before. You know, being arrested is a pretty traumatic experience. And the great thing
I know.
Was, oh, yeah. Okay. The bottom line was is that he had the right attitude, and he called me, which was good, so he was on the right track. And what's fascinating is that he's been listening to the show for a long time. He's a big fan of you. You'll be happy to hear.
Nice.
He likes our segment very much. And the cop said to him on the side of the road, I'd like you to do a field sobriety test. And he knew not to do it. He knew that I said not to do it, and he agreed to do it.
Oh, boy.
Okay? And then, hold on, there's more. He knows you're not supposed to do the blow test, the breath test, wait for the blood test. The cop says, I'd like you to do the blow test. And he's hearing my voice in his head, apparently. Don't do it, don't do it. And he agreed to do it. And so, and I said to him, well, man, it was because you were drunk, because he was drunk, you know? I said, your faculties weren't with you or whatever? No. He literally just couldn't help himself. It's amazing.
Wow.
There's a real kind of parental thing that cops lay on you, where, you know, they're the boss, they're an authority, they have a gun, you know, they're in their uniform with their badge, and you're on the side of the road somewhere, and they're asking you, and you get the feeling that they're not just asking.
Well, plus, on top of that, they've got that, their MO is to say, like, well, if you've got nothing to hide, then you have no problem doing it.
Let's clear your name.
Right. Obviously, you've got nothing to hide, so come on. And, you know, obviously, if you've had a few drinks, and that's part of the equation that we kind of forget about. He was drunk.
Yeah.
And so his judgment was impaired.
But if you, Tom, know that you're drunk, why are you blowing into a machine that's going to give evidence that you're drunk?
I do believe just. You ever see the people who go on Maury and they look exactly like the kid?
It's exactly the same.
They look exactly like the kid, but they think somehow the machine is going to make a mistake or they're going to beat it somehow. So they go on. I'm amazed day after day how many people go on the Maury Povich show. And you know they're the father. You know it.
No, but the opposite, too. They know they're going to get burned because it's the mother and she knows she lies.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
But they do it anyway.
Well, what's fascinating, and I've had a lot of these cases, particularly in family law, where there was a whole issue of drug use, so the mother was accused of using drugs, and they do this hair follicle test, which is like super accurate. And what's amazing is they'll challenge you. You know, you didn't even think of it, and they'll say, you don't believe me? Test me! Test me! You want to test me? Go ahead, test me! So you tell the judge, okay, let's do it. They take the hair, whatever. A few days later, we get this report, shows that she's on methamphetamine and all this other stuff. And it's amazing. You put it in their hand. They look right at it. And they say, no, it's a lie. Go, what do you mean it's a lie? What, you were set up? What, they switched the evidence or something? And if you know that you've been drinking and you know that the test is going to come out unfavorable to you, why the hell would you do it? It's madness.
Right.
So anyway, everybody, please, please, especially in the case of DUI, please don't do these things. Don't do a field sobriety test. Don't do the blow test. Please insist on a blood test. And in general, in any criminal matters and anything that's going on in your life, please don't talk to the police. They're not your friends. These are the people who are going to come to court as a matter of their duty and their job and testify against you. Your Miranda rights, when they say to you, anything you say can and will be used against you, notice the second part. Not just that it can be used against you, it will be used against you. There's no joke about it. There's no two ways about it. Unless that cop dies, okay, he's going to come in and he's going to repeat what you said. And in fact, he may make it worse. And you're going to tell him.
Right.
Classic thing when the police pull you over and they say to you, and this is the same police psychology you're talking about, Tom. Sir, do you know why I pulled you over? And you go, duh, because I was swerving, so you think I'm drunk.
Did you smell pot smoke coming out of my window?
Nice going. And my favorite is, have you had anything to drink tonight, sir? A couple of beers. Yeah, nice going. Nice going. Why don't you just sign your own death warrant, for God's sake? Please, guys, shut up. Tom, remember you talked about saving a marriage?
We talk about shutting up.
Shut up. Do you have that? Timson, where is that?
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up!
Yes. Please remember what I said.
Right.
Then you come to me. Now, look, I'm working for you, and I'm knocking myself out trying to get you acquitted, which is very difficult. Why make it harder? Why ruin the odds? Seriously, if I'm already going in and rolling the dice and trying to convince the judge or the jury, which is difficult enough, why make your chance even less that you're going to get acquitted by stacking the evidence against yourself?
I had this experience when I was on the witness stand.
Oh, dear.
You know, I was sued.
In Alaska.
In Alaska. And the the opposing attorney, the attorney for the supposed victim, was asking me a question about how my show is produced. And he kept asking me a question about my producer. And what he really meant to say was my screener.
Oh.
I have a producer and I have a screener.
Wow.
So he kept asking me about the producer, and I said, I don't understand. He said, your producer, right? Your producer is producing the show or whatever. And point is, he kept going for like 20 minutes in this line of questioning, and I kept saying that I didn't know what he was talking about. And
yeah, don't help him, right?
I didn't help him. My attorney had advised me. If he gets, you know, he doesn't understand the radio business, if he doesn't understand who all the players are, it's not your job to help him.
Yeah.
And so that's ultimately what I said when the judge finally asked me why I was being obstinate. I said, I'm not being obstinate. The producer doesn't do that.
I got to tell you, Tom, that it's happened to me a few times in my earlier days as a lawyer, and certainly has changed with my greater experience after doing this for 20 years. But back in the beginning days, I went up against some lawyers that were so fucked up and so stupid that I kind of, you know, pointed on the paper where to look. You know, I felt bad for them.
I wouldn't.
I don't do it anymore.
Let it go.
No. I've been in court even in the past couple of days. I had a lawyer who was just arguing, like you might say, barking up the wrong tree. And he was just going, and he was getting red in the face, you know? And I'm just sitting there smiling. He's going, okay, give him a shovel. Let him dig the hole even deeper, please.
Right.
Go
well,
right ahead.
You know, I think everybody, you correct me if I'm wrong, I think everybody listening would benefit from taking a day off and going down to the courthouse.
Oh, my God.
And seeing what goes on down there. Because first and foremost, having been sued and having got, they would not accept settlement or even settlement talks. So we had to go through the whole rigmarole, the whole
right,
trial.
Right.
We had to go through the whole thing. And
what happened? You called and screamed at her or something? Or you gave out her name or something?
She wrote a letter to the radio station in Juneau, Alaska.
But you did something back to her.
Oh, well, I did. She wrote the letter, and the radio station sent her letter to me. And the general manager had written on top of the fax he sent. He said, have fun with this.
Oh, dear.
So I did. I read it on the show. And then I said on the show, you know, you wouldn't have time to be writing letters like this if you were out getting laid.
Oh, no.
And I played the sound of a vibrator.
So tactful, Tom.
By the way, I think most people wouldn't have time to write complaint letters if they would go out and get laid. People who write complaint letters are people who are not getting laid.
Very sad.
I do believe that. So she sued me for giving her post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh, God.
I intentionally inflicted harm on her.
And you were a bully, Tom.
And I owed her almost $3 million.
Wouldn't you know it?
To hear her tell it. And so I had to go. I was on trial for 7 weeks in Alaska. But you know what's amazing about being through that case? You know, you grow up watching Perry Mason, and you grow up watching whatever decade you watch TV, Owen Marshall, Counter at Law, or, you know, whatever lawyer, L.A. Law, the 80s, the 90s, whatever.
Well, reality is a little different, eh?
Reality is a lot different. First of all, opening and closing statements go for hours and hours. On TV, they go for like 6 minutes at most.
Very eloquent for about 6 minutes.
In reality, you've got lawyers who are, you know, they're rumpled, they're dropping things, dropping pointers. I have a pointer to point to their PowerPoint presentation.
I never dropped a pointer.
They're dropping books. They're dropping pieces of paper. They're picking them up. They're apologizing for misstating things. They make a mistake, and then they have to go back and correct it. And they spend an awful lot of time pointing at, in my case, the accused, pointing at me and talking about what an evil person I was. This shock jock over here, you know. And so it's 7 weeks of this, okay? Finally, the closing arguments take like 2 days. It's not like watching TV. It's not like you're watching Boston Legal and James Bader wraps it up in 2.5 minutes. It's not like that. There's nothing like that. Then the amount of, you know, you see Perry Mason. If you ever watch an old episode of Perry Mason, you see him. You know, just essentially unraveling, peeling the person like an onion, and they finally squirt out an admission of guilt. You know, in the real world, people go on the witness, and they just lie. Cops lie, witnesses lie, people who are trying to sue you for $3 million, they lie, they all lie. And then you have to try to catch them in their lies or catch them in their inconsistencies. But what they showed Perry Mason doing 50 years ago on TV is actually an intense condensation of what really goes on. It's ugly. It's messy. It takes a long time. The air conditioning doesn't always work in the courtroom. I was in Alaska, so I didn't have that problem, but I know other people who've had that problem. It's just not as neat and tidy as it appears. And I really believe if you could see the incompetent legal counsel that some people engage, you would see that by hiring good legal counsel, you have a chance of winning many cases that had you come in poorly armed, you might have lost and could have won. Because I can't believe how lousy the technique is to some of these people. I can't imagine that, you know, when you're constantly dropping things and losing your train of thought in the middle of telling the judge something or saying something to the jury. I'm amazed people didn't say, I'm just going to hire the most eloquent, best person I can find because I have a much better chance of winning.
Well, if you have a lawyer that knows what they're doing, such as myself, thank you very much,
well,
you're already way ahead of the game. There's no doubt about it. And you see the other side and all the mistakes they make. You know, when you talk about prosecutors and criminal cases, they have hundreds and hundreds of cases. And I have your case, and I'm the expert on your case. And as you say, I don't know about dropping, but they're misstating all kinds of things, and they're confused because they don't know the case that well.
How many times do they not even know the client that well?
Well, there you go.
I mean, I have seen people who clearly met their attorney in the hallway
seconds,
at the courthouse.
Seconds before.
Yeah, and you can tell because the attorney does not know the name of the person he's representing. You can see it.
It happened to me the other day in a case. The woman said that we were in this mediation, and the mediator said to this woman lawyer, women lawyers are a scream, Tom. But anyway, so this mediator says to her, so what's this case we're on? And she literally looked like panic-stricken and looked at her client, couldn't think of the client's name, was trying to place her,
right,
and started digging through the papers. And so I just said the name, you know, to kind of...
And the reason I
saved the shot.
The reason I set us down this road, Adam,
yes,
is
Tom,
because these are the reasons you need to hire a good attorney. You have no idea how many times the other side is not prepared. You have no idea how many times the cop doesn't show up in court. You have no idea.
I pounce on all that stuff. I tell people cops make mistakes. It's great. It's a good thing.
Right.
But when people tell me they look at the papers and the papers are all wrong, I say that helps us.
Right. But what I'm saying is if you weren't there. You weren't there to point these things out. I think generally the judge is going to assume the cops don't lie, and you do.
That's the problem.
That's pretty much what happens.
Well, I talked to a few people in the past couple of weeks that, you know, told me very defeatist attitudes. They said, oh, I don't have a chance, do I? Even if I hire a lawyer, I'm screwed, right? And it's exactly what you're saying, Tom. There are so many opportunities and so many possibilities to get things changed or get things reduced. You know, there's a really funny thing that happened a couple of weeks ago here in L.A. Tom Hanks was on a jury. I don't know if you saw that, the actor. And he was on a jury, and it was some domestic abuse case. And they just tried to, like, make him like a regular guy, but of course he's a very big star. And one of the interns, who's like a young lawyer for the prosecution, the DA's office, said hello to him in the hallway or something and said, oh, Mr. Hanks, I'm so glad you're here and you're on the jury or something. The defense attorney came in at the next hearing and said, prosecutor's talking to a juror. I don't care that it's an actor. I don't give a shit.
Oh my.
Case was dismissed. There's always a way to win, Tom.
Well, and that's what we hope to impart here. And, of course, if you have been accused of a crime.
Oh, dear.
Whether you did it or you didn't do it.
No, nobody did it, Tom. Everybody's innocent.
Well, that's, I'm sure, what they want to tell others, but they can tell us the truth here. If you have been accused of a crime, if you whether you did it or you didn't do it, whether you could be a DUI, that's the most common one. By the way, here in L.A., doesn't everybody know somebody who's been convicted of a DUI?
I know. There's something like 200 to 300 arrests per day.
Right.
So that's sort of a very common experience.
Yeah. Everybody knows somebody. Like I have never gotten a DUI, but I know people who've gone to these alcohol re-education classes, and they told me that story I always talk about, the one about how you go into the class that's being taught by an alcoholic.
Yeah, of course.
And they tell you, you know, if you'd driven with your windows up, if you had driven in the The right lane, the slow lane. You would have gotten away with this.
Naturally. And
people are taking notes. Okay, slow lane. Windows closed.
The theory here. I mean, I'm always skeptical when I get a guy like Magic Johnson, let's say, who's telling us he's had sex with 25,000 women, but you shouldn't. Look what happened to me. I got HIV, so you don't do it.
Right.
Give me a break. What kind of advice are you getting from an alcoholic, someone who's killed people or whatever, to tell you, don't do what I did?
Right.
I always think that's very suspect.
Yeah. That's just like they have, you know, battered women teaching domestic violence classes.
Yeah, they're going to teach us how not to marry a loser and get beaten up.
Right. Outrageous. Now, if you've got these issues and you need some free legal advice right now, you can call and talk with attorney Adam Sachs. You call this number right now, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is the telephone number. It's 901-3000-866.
Listen to an entire year of internet broadcast history now at PremiumTom.com. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
On this show, I love talking about how to save money. Well, here's one great way to save some money. If you need insurance, Coslow Insurance is the place to go to get the best deal. That's COSTLO, Coslow. Independent, family-owned and operated since 1965. Big fans of our show, and they're just great people. You know, when I was having trouble getting my Tesla Model S insured, and I was having trouble, Coslow got the job done quick, easy. Total pleasure to deal with. Are you kidding? I'm so proud to be insured through Coslow. I think it's great. Now, you really should give them a call. Get a free, no-obligation quote at this number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Now, they represent lots of A-plus rated insurance companies, and they'll work with you to get the right protection at the right price. For property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Competitive rates for all risks, from DUIs to spotless driving records, from basic liability to comprehensive full coverage policies. Do what I did. Call 818-707-7711 or visit Coslow.com today. Coslow, COSTLO.
New normal rock. Newer, faster, harder rock. 24/7. Listen now or we'll pee on your rug. They pee on your fucking rug. Pee on my fucking rug. Find us at newnormalrock.com and ask like tune in. They peed on your fucking rug. No ballots, no broads, no bullshit.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Don't make us pee on your rug. New normal rock.
Hey, P1s. Our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
Hammer time.
Tom Likas Show, you bet it is. And here we are in a bonus hour with our guest, criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. He's here in studio. And if you need legal advice, now is the time to call 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. It's 901-3000-866. Bruce is calling from Inglewatt on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, Tom and Adam.
Hey,
good to
Bruce.
Talk to you guys. And I always appreciate Adam Sachs coming in and doing this hour here. I always look forward to that.
Thank you.
Just a side point before I tell you my story. A friend of mine gave me a drunk driving tip. He said it like if you're on a freeway or something. He said the best way to drive straight is to just focus, look far in the distance, and pick out a landmark or something as far as you can see, and then just focus on that. And that seems to work. It kind of makes you drive straight towards that.
All right, so all you drunk drivers out there, here's some advice for you.
Yeah, and you only get this stuff on a Tom Likas Show. There's no other place you get this. You don't get this on regular radio.
Right.
You know, you get the Tom Show. And I was just going to say, just to add to the previous conversation, it is always advisable if the police pull you over, just say, officer, I know, we respect the officer. You can always say, officer, I know you're just doing your job, but I just really don't want to answer any questions. And then
right.
Shut up and keep quiet, because they'll ask you, where have you been? Where are you going? How much have you had to drink tonight? And you don't have to tell them anything. You can just say, I'm sorry, I just don't want to answer any questions. I know you're doing your job, but I don't want to answer any questions.
Yeah.
And then,
by the way, don't be nasty about it. Say it very matter of fact.
Be nice, and then refuse the test. Say, well, I want you to follow this flashlight. Look at this flashlight. Well, that's one of the tests. And even if you're sitting in your car, they'll have to try to do that. So, I just don't want to look at any lights. I don't want to take any field sobriety tests. And, hey, if they at that point drive you to the station or whatever, blood, breath, and urine, best thing, like you said before, is the blood test, because then at least it gives you, a chance for your alcohol level to go down by the time you get to the test and so on and so forth. But anyways, I wanted to get to my story about cops searching cars. I had the police want to search my car one time. I'll tell you what happened. I was out in San Diego, went to the post office to mail something, and there was some police activity at a park just right almost adjacent to the post office. So I just drove over like the half a block, parked near the park, and I had a police scanner at that time, and opened the trunk, took out the scanner, and started scanning, and I couldn't pick up anything. So I got back into my car and started to drive away, and they had the police helicopter overhead, and as I'm driving away, I hear on the police scanner, the car comes back to, and then they said my name, and this is his address. And I'm like, what? I said, I just went to a park, from the post office to this park, half a block away, and now I'm driving away, listening to the scanner, and the helicopter is announcing that the car comes back, my plate comes back to me, and I'm like, okay, what do I do now? Do I pull over and say, I guess you guys are looking for me. I could hear you on the scanner. So I thought, what am I going to do? Well, okay, I'll drive home. And I thought, I'll go to a local yogurt shop that I know and get some yogurt ice cream stuff and see what the story is. So anyways, I drive over to the yogurt shop. And, okay, get out of the car, and I figured they're going to come any minute. So I just go to the yogurt shop, get yogurt. And so I go in there, and I'm getting my yogurt thing there, the frozen yogurt thing. And, I look, the cops are coming out. They're looking around my car. So I go out. I thought, okay, just act normal. I said, what's going on? Now, is this your car? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And they said, well, we'd like to search it. I'm thinking, what the hell are they? What do they want? I went to the post office, went to the park, got the scanner, what are they looking? What the heck happened? I said, what's going on? He said, well, we want to search your car. So I thought at that time, what the heck? I have nothing to hide. Just let them search the car. So, go ahead, search the car, right? So they searched my car, and they said, okay, you can go. And I said, well, what's going on? I said, well, there was somebody, a report of a molester at the park over there where you were parked, right where you're parked. And if you had had a baseball cap in your trunk, you would be going to jail right now because, the molester was supposedly wearing a baseball cap. So here's a case where I had absolutely nothing to hide, but yet, I could have been, sitting in jail because I had a baseball cap in my trunk. So the bottom line is that if the cops want to search your car, even if you have nothing to hide, never let them search your car. You can always just say, officer, I do not consent to a search of my vehicle. Isn't that amazing?
Well, yeah, that's basically what we're talking about. I don't really understand why you let them search your car.
Well, this is before I listened to you.
Oh, but on the other hand, do you have a question?
No. I just I wanted to get my story so that other people could learn from that experience.
No,
that,
you're absolutely right. And look, that could have been a coincidence, right? That you approximately matched the guy's description, and all they had is that he had a baseball cap. If they had accidentally, coincidentally found that you actually had a baseball cap in your car, you would have been arrested and you would have been dealing with it for the next couple of days, or who even knows? You know, once the cops arrest you and that starts going into motion, it's very hard for them to admit that they have the wrong guy.
Yeah. It's just like a whirlpool or something. It just sucks you into the legal system.
There's no doubt.
Yeah. It's crazy. In fact, one time I had to go to court for something, for a ticket, and I asked for a postponement on it, and they said okay, and they gave me a little piece of paper. I don't know. It had the date on it or something about the court or whatever. A little small piece of paper, and I thought, well, let me just save this, you know. And it's a good thing I saved it because all of a sudden I got in the mail, I got a warrant for my arrest because I didn't show up to court. So I went to court and I said, what the heck's going on? I said, well, no, you didn't show up to court. And I said, yes, I did. And I said, in fact, I showed up and here's the little piece of paper that the judge gave me, you know, after I asked for a postponement. And they admitted that they screwed up. And I said, well, I said, could I get a reduction in the fine due to the incompetence of the court? And they said, no, but we can't reduce the fine, but we'll take off some of the fees or something like that, you know? So
nice.
You got to save all your paperwork, too.
Definitely.
You know, but anyways, this is the only place you can learn this is on, you know, listening to Tom and Adam Sachs there on Tom Lenka's show. So sign up and be a P1 subscriber and save you thousands of dollars, everybody.
All right.
All right, Bruce. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce.
Inglewatch checking in there. 901-3000, Tom, is our telephone number. Joe in Anchorage, Alaska. You're on the Tom Lenka Show with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Joe.
How you guys doing today?
Great.
And I actually do care. First of all, Tom, I have to apologize for my home state because I know it's giving you quite a bit of grief, but we're not all like that. And
all right.
Big fan.
I'm aware. Thank you. And by the way, we had a great time drinking at night. That was our highlight. Was going to a bar in Juneau called The Hangar, and we were there drinking Alaskan ale at night. It was fabulous.
You may not believe it, Joe, but
you got to come see us in Anchorage.
Well, I'm actually licensed in Alaska.
Well, then this is good because I have two questions, and the previous caller actually kind of addressed one of them. But so, you know, you said when you get pulled over, just to respectfully decline and then shut up, and that's
right.
Great. But, I mean, so when they ask you the question, how many have you had to drink or have you had anything to drink tonight? I mean, is that literally it? Do you just say, I don't want to answer any questions?
You can say it a few different ways. My tendency has been to tell the officer, look, officer, I'm just really tired and I'm disorientated and I really just don't want to talk to you. Or you can say, I don't want to answer any questions without my attorney present. That's also very good.
Okay. Well, and okay. So then my second question, actually, this is good because this is specific to Alaska. So when I've been telling people that what I've heard you say about refusing the breathalyzer, going for the blood test. I have heard people respond to me here that in Alaska, it is actually against the law to refuse the breathalyzer. Is that accurate?
No.
So I could refuse the breathalyzer, go only for the blood test.
You cannot refuse. Okay, if you refuse testing, all right, then it's not that it's against the law. What it's going to presume is that you were as drunk as possible. So here in California, Alaska, or anywhere else, if you refuse the breath test and refuse the blood test, this is not the Soviet Union, okay? They're not going to hold you down and take your blood, but it's going to be held against you by the court.
Wait a minute. Didn't I read a story recently that some state is now allowing cops to forcibly take blood?
Do you remember I showed that to you?
Right.
I put that on Facebook.
Yes.
No, it was Georgia, I think, and they actually had this chamber of horror. They had this woman and they belted her down and grabbed her blood or whatever, and they're like six deputies were holding her down, but fortunately that was found to be excessive and they're not going to be doing that supposedly anymore. And the bottom line is that the breathalyzer test is notoriously inaccurate, and there have been a lot of false positives. There's also competition among the companies that make them, and their program in the actual breathalyzer or computer is proprietary, and there's been all kinds of mistakes and errors. And so you have the right to say, look, I want a blood test. The reason you want a blood test is because it's far more accurate. And what's also advantageous is that it's going to be a few hours until they get you down to the hospital or to the clinic or to have someone come to the station and take your blood, and that has the greater possibility of some of the alcohol metabolizing and you having a lower reading.
Well, thank you very much for answering my question. I'm a big fan, both you guys, and I'll keep on listening. You guys, Adam, you saved me 1,000 times over just by
thanks.
So thank you guys so much.
And don't drink and drive, okay?
But yeah, absolutely.
But if you do, that other guy had some good advice for you.
Just focus on the horizon. That's right.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you so much for the call. It's 901-3000. Tom, if you have questions for criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, sitting right here in the studio with free legal advice for you, you call 901-3000. Tom, that number is 901-3000-866.
Storming halls, breaking walls, and busting balls. 901-3000, Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
You guys remember Dr. Robert Armani, right? He's the chiropractor who gave Adam Sachs an adjustment right here in the studio. Well, as you know, Dr. Armani is a P1, a good friend of our show, and has always been incredibly supportive. But what you probably don't know is that he specializes in injuries, including personal injury and workers' compensation cases. So if you've been injured in any way, your neck, back, hip, knee, shoulder, you name it, Dr. Armani will work hand-in-hand with the attorney handling your case and get you fixed up. Whether you need physical therapy, rehabilitating exercises, or chiropractic adjustments, Dr. Armani has the most advanced equipment to treat your pain and injuries at any of his three L.A. area offices. Visit ArmaniChiropractic.com today. That's ArmaniChiropractic.com. Our friend Dr. Robert Armani at ArmaniChiropractic.com.
There's a new normal channel with Tom Likas. There's a new normal channel for lizards. There's a new normal channel with balls. There's a new normal channel with 50,000 in a row. And then there's a new normal channel that just screws with your head 24/7. That channel is Great Big Radio. Great Big Radio. Two generations of awesome power pop. Stuff you know very well with stuff you forgot about. And stuff you never heard before but will blow you away. I said blow. So, enjoy 50,000 Lizards with Balls 101. And when you want to hear classic hits and the songs that should have been, go straight to
Great Big Radio.
24/7 at GreatBigRadio.com, the TuneIn app, and the Great Big Radio app for the iPhone.
All right, boys, let's take a minute to talk about Allure Detail. Now, you've probably seen the amazing pictures I've posted to Facebook and BlowMeUpTom.com of the work done on my Tesla. Now, even though it's a pretty new car, Allure actually performed a paint correction, which removes all those light scratches and swirls you get in the finish. And then they apply something called Opticoat to protect the car for years. I have never seen paint look this good. Never. Now, it's an unreal, mirror-like, wet finish. And if you go look at the photos, you're going to see what I'm talking about. I mean, honestly, my Tesla may look better than the day I got it. It's Allure Detail. At AllureDetail.com, they've been in business for 7 years. Family-owned and operated with over 18 five-star Yelp reviews and over 30 five-star customer lobby reviews. These guys do great work, and they come to you. They came to me. They do the work on my Tesla while I do the show. Mention my name and get a special $99 dressy detail with free paint inspection or 20% off any package they offer. Wheel scuff repair, paintless dent repair, windshield repair. These guys do it all. Check them out at AllureDetail.com. By the way, email them a picture of your car and you'll get a free quote within 24 hours. It's our friends at Allure Detail at AllureDetail.com.
Hammer time.
Like this show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. You know, we're back now live every Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You can hear our show 24-7 here at blowmeuptom.com. And, of course, our podcast is available on demand just by going to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. 901-3000, Tom is our telephone number. We're here with free legal advice from criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. These are great opportunities for you to get in here and find out what to do when you get into these jams. Say hi to Lou. Lou is in St. Clairsville, Ohio, on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, Lou.
Hey, Adam. How are you?
Cool.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Last June 2012, I was involved in an auto accident with a tractor trailer.
Okay.
And was fortunate, you know, to come out of that. Okay.
Yeah, lucky to be alive.
Well, this is the second time this has happened to me.
Jeez.
But anyway, the police investigated, and they did not cite me. They did not cite the truck. But they said the evidence shows that from the tire tracks that they felt that it was my fault, but it was, you know, probably just an accident or error in driving.
Right.
So anyway, okay, everything's fine. And then in November, well, what happened in the wreck was I did like two or three spins in the road and went across three or four lanes on the interstate, and I came into one of those cable rope fences.
Okay.
Which was very fortunate because it kept me from going in the opposite lane during, you know, rush hour.
Yeah, it sounds like you're lucky to be alive. I'm glad you didn't get hurt.
Oh, I am. But anyway, I get a bill in November from the State Department of Transportation.
For the fence.
For the fence.
Wouldn't you know it.
So anyway, I contact my insurance agency and talk to the claims rep, and they say, okay, we're going to pay it. Well, I get a second bill like the last week of December. Apparently, my claims agent had been sick. So I get a hold of the claims representative from the insurance agent last week of December of last year, and they issue a check on January 4th of this year. So, okay, it's paid. That's the end of it. Last week of August of this year, and I get I get a letter from a collections agency for like $178 for collections. And I'm thinking, well, didn't the, you know, insurance company pay the full bill? Did they hold a deduction? So I called the Department of Transportation and I talked to the fiscal office and they say, well, we turned that over to collection or to the Attorney General. We turned that over to the Ohio Attorney General on the 15th of January. And so I said, okay. And so I called the collection agency, and they said that is for legal costs in dealing with the collections. Well, in the meantime, I would have thought the Attorney General would have sent me some sort of notice about trying to collect this.
Right.
Or this was a bill or whatever. But anyway, the guy from the Department of Transportation said he would look into it further. So I call him back, and he sends me an email stating that they received the check on January the 9th, which is like 6 days before they turned it over for collections. So I called the collections agency back up. They said, send us all this, and I did. And it's been like two or three weeks, and I haven't heard anything. So, you know, obviously it's a problem with the State Department of Transportation.
Crazy.
What do I do? Should I call the Attorney General's office?
Maybe you should let it lie. You said that you sent them the thing and you haven't heard anything for a while, right?
It's been, several weeks.
Well,
when I called the collection agency back up, they got really hot with me.
Okay, well, collection agencies aren't your friends, you know? They're nasty people. That's their job, I mean, really. But if you talk about your circumstance, let me first say that you should be very happy that it's a small amount of money, okay?
Right.
You're talking about $100-something bucks. So don't get, don't have a heart attack. I talk to people.
I've spent like a day on this.
No, I understand.
It's like a big waste of time.
Well, of course, but this is the modern world. You know, I talk to people that get stuff like this, and it's, you know, $50,000. You know,
mm-hmm.
So that's a lot more terrifying. Broadly speaking, you're talking a lot about making calls. That's probably not the smart thing to do. You should probably try to keep everything in writing, you know, writing letters and mailing it and keeping receipts of your letters and so forth.
I have everything in a file on my email account and everything I've sent to the copies of all. I faxed everything to the to the collection agency.
So you're on track. And basically, it's not your problem. It's their problem. The reality is you obviously did some harm to that fence, and then there was a bill from the county or the state, and the insurance company paid it late. That's the trick. And so by the time they got around and paid it, the state was freaking out, and obviously it put some legal cost or some interest or something. And now that you've written it and it's all kind of, you know, in the system and you haven't heard anything, I would let it lie. Okay, don't have a heart attack, it's not a lot of money, and you don't owe it. So you've been honest. You know, you have nothing to be ashamed of, okay? Your company was a little slow to pay, but they did pay, and obviously you've called all the right people. But honestly, if you're going to call a collection agency, whatever the story is, you should know that they're going to be nasty. Those are not people that you want to deal with, normally speaking. They're doing a very nasty job. They're calling people about overdue debts all the time.
Lou, thanks a lot for the call. 901-3000. Tom is our telephone number. Here is Keith in Los Angeles on this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Keith, you're on with attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, what's happening? First of all, my name's Steve. I don't know why they got Keith.
Steve,
but anyway,
how you doing?
Great show, guys. I'm doing
thanks.
Well. Thanks for asking. Hey, Adam, here's my situation. I don't want to take up too much time, but got a DUI earlier this year and hired an attorney, just like you guys suggest always. And got it down to what they call an exhibition of speed, which I never even heard of.
Oh, that's great. By the way, from a DUI,
great.
That's terrific. Exhibition of speed, technically, you know, it's one of those 1950s movies where two guys, like, race, you know, on a road near the beach or whatever.
Right.
That's generally what that is. Or hitting the gas, you know, like kind of like revving the engine.
Right, right.
It's not great, but it's a lot better than a DUI.
Definitely. I mean, my other option, I think she said that was the was like a wet reckless, but I figured, you know what, I'd rather have something that's not alcohol-related.
By the way, I absolutely agree. I don't know who your attorney was, but it certainly, if you had the choice, exhibition of speed versus wet reckless, I would definitely go for speed.
Well, here's the bad thing, though. Since they were getting me for a refusal, I got, you know, your suspension. I lost the DMV hearing.
Oh, what happened?
And,
wait a second. So you wouldn't do the blow and you didn't do the blood?
Yeah, well, I told them I wanted to do the blood, and they didn't give me the blood test. You know, I was pretty,
pretty
hammered.
Well, that's not a refusal.
You know,
I'm surprised. I'm sorry. I'm surprised your counsel didn't bring that up, because that's not a refusal. If the police were not prepared to give you the blood test, then it's not a test. That doesn't show that you didn't cooperate. You cooperated. They just didn't have it ready.
Yeah, it's stunk in the DMV admin hearing.
Yeah,
I mean, it was. You can just tell whoever the person was over the phone was just completely biased, man. It totally stuck. And my thing was this:
did you do the hearing, or your attorney did it?
The attorney did it.
Really?
But it wasn't. The trial attorney was different from the one that did the admin hearing, the DMV hearing.
Yeah.
And then
that's strange.
I don't understand that. You know?
No, I'll tell you why. In some firms, and Tom was just talking about this, where your lawyer meets you just before the hearing. You know, like if there's a firm that has, let's say, 5 attorneys or 10 attorneys, or they have people come and go, that get fired or, you know, resign or whatever, you know, as time goes on, each time you're dealing with a different person in the firm. So when you had your DMV hearing or you had your actual court hearing, it was 2 different lawyers. You know, I do all my stuff myself, and people say to me, who's going to do the hearing? Is it going to be you or one of your buddies? And I'm like, hey, it's going to be me, you know? So that's definitely a factor when you choose a lawyer. Be careful with that.
Yeah, it sucks, because in my situation, I wasn't even driving, man. I was asleep in my car.
Really?
You know, literally knocked out. And they knocked on my window and say, all right, you know, step out. And
right, but did you have the, no, I understand, but did you have the key in the ignition?
Yeah, man, I was just the music knocked out.
Yeah. I have a guy who started the car, and it was just to get the heat going, you know? So he was sitting in the car with the heater on, parked, and then he fell asleep like you. and they knocked on the window, woke him up, and then he's charged with a DUI, which is ridiculous. He's like, what the hell are you talking about? I was literally trying to do the right thing and sleep it off.
Right.
But you're in the car with the key either in the ignition or with the engine on. That shows, like, intent to drive.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I guess they got me on the DMV hearing, but... You know, it went well for me with the, you know, in the court system,
good.
But not so well DMV. But my thing is this, is there any way, since it got dropped, the DUI is not there anymore, now it's just exhibition speed, like
right.
I said, is there any way to fight the DMV now to try to get my license back? Because, I mean, not driving around for
no,
a year, man, that's killer
sure.
here in L.A.
You can always go back and ask for an appeal or to ask for it to be reopened now that your court matter is closed and you weren't found guilty of any alcohol offense. And don't forget, you can also get that expunged, too. Your exhibition of speed.
Oh, definitely.
If that was
yeah,
a, you know, went down as a misdemeanor, it depends on it, because that's something that could be either way.
Now, do you do those cases?
Of course.
Give me a call after the show.
No problem. Happy to help you.
Absolutely, man.
You have to remember, you're asking me a pretty basic question, which is there anything I can do? And the answer is almost always there's something that can be done. I mean, it's a drag
awesome.
When people get this shit and they go, oh, my God, I can't drive for 3 years? No, there's always a way. There's always an appeal. There's always a way to request it. Maybe you don't get a regular license, but you get a restricted license that allows you to drive to work. You know, there's always
right.
possibilities.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm glad I called, and I'll
sure.
be calling you soon, man.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Adam. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for the call. 901-3000 Tom. Here's Scott in Dallas on the Tom Likas Show with attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Adam. How you doing?
Hey, Scott.
Hi. Yeah, it's a real honor to talk to you all, so thanks.
Thank you.
My story is I was traveling on business in another state, and I got a DUI in that other state, and I was convicted. And then I came back here, and several years later, I got another DUI. Now, actually, the interesting thing is in this DUI that I got in Texas, the previous caller, my story was exactly the same. I was actually in the car. I was asleep. The keys were not in the ignition, and I wasn't even driving. Is that the first one
or the second one?
That's the second one.
So wait, you're saying
that's
you were in the
one.
Car, asleep
yep.
without the key in the ignition, and they gave you a DUI?
Correct. Correct.
Oh, that's
yes,
that's,
because I did the field sobriety test, and they had it on tape.
No, but even if, well, that's a mistake. And by the way, I always say don't do the
yep.
field sobriety. By the way, that's especially true if they videotape you. Please don't do it with a videotape, for God's sake. What
yep.
do you think they're
yep.
going to do with that
I,
tape? They're going to show it to the jury. Hello. But I'm very surprised that you were charging and then convicted with the DUI. What was the attitude in the prosecution in the case? That you were going to drive? What happened?
They assumed that I had been driving.
Oh.
That I had been driving.
Well, is that possible?
But, yeah. Well, my question was that the fact that there wasn't any reciprocity between the states. That was really the intent of my question, because they prosecuted it as a first offense.
Right.
They did not process, so they never found out about the other because I never had a license in that other state. So
yeah.
my question is, somebody had told me there's like a national DUI register,
yeah.
so if you go to another state,
well, not,
is that true?
Not a DUI registry. What that really shows probably is the carelessness of your prosecutor, because your prosecutor in the second offense should have found the first one. There's not a registry particularly of DUIs, but there are national computer databases, and that's also true of regular tickets and everything else, domestic violence. Everything is registered now. And they're absolutely remarkable. They find stuff no matter what. And I have people that have some BS from Ohio from 15 years ago, and it still comes up on the computer, you know? So what
mm-hmm.
happened was your prosecutor was just careless and didn't check, and so they didn't find it. So keep your mouth shut. I wouldn't advertise it to them. It's better for you if they don't know about it. The truth is you should
probably get
it expunged anyway.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and obviously from you know, I shouldn't have taken the field sobriety test anyways.
No, I agree.
But
and I think your attorney should have fought. Your attorney should have fought more aggressively, because I would have argued that you had not been driving. There's no reason to have any implication otherwise, and that in fact the car wasn't started. You didn't have the key in the ignition. There was no driving, no intent to drive. I think I could have gotten it dismissed. I'm surprised you were convicted. Sorry,
Scott. Thank you for the call. Tell everybody, Adam, how they can get in touch with you.
Well, I'm going to shock everyone again by saying that I answer my phone, Tom. I get these very incredulous people calling me all the time and going, oh, talk to Adam Sachs. It's me. It is? I swear, okay? You can call me toll-free, 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And I've been digging, Tom, a lot of emails from people, which is always nice. Always nice to give you a quick answer. And I do answer them myself, by the way. I don't have some secretary juggling this. You can email me direct at Adam, A-D-A-M, at adamlawyer.com.
There you go. Adam Sachs. You hear him every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Get everything for just 27 cents a day at premiumtom.com. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it is time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
I'm Mexican Coke.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beers.
Yay.
Beer Magazine. Good riddance, bitch. This is a mother of the fucking year. Jailed for 30 years for burning her 19-year-old son's penis. What? What? And nipples.
Wait a minute. Wait
and nipples with a lighter.
The mom did this?
The mom did this.
To her own son?
Yeah, to her own son.
Wait,
she abused the shit out of him for his whole life. And had other people abuse him.
Yeah. And had other people?
Yeah.
And she only got 30 years?
Mm-hmm. At one point, she made him eat his own fecal matter.
Mm-hmm.
You still want more details? Are you okay with the burning of the penis?
Well,
Christine Gillenou from
here,
Concord, Massachusetts.
Yes, she took each shit and made it literal in this
right,
case.
Right, correct, yes.
Unbelievable.
She left her son with permanent nerve damage to his penis.
She also pled guilty, basically.
Yeah.
And this is, I guess, in turn, she got only a 30-year sentence because, to me, they ought to plug her in.
Right.
To an electric chair.
Sizzle that fucker up.
Yeah. She probably likes it. Yes, thank you. Something's wrong here for her to continually have done this.
Yes,
I'm saying, his lifetime.
Right.
That she ridiculed him. I mean, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Well,
this is how evil women can be. I know they, it's often the guys are monsters, but this woman, clearly a monster. I mean,
as monstrous as they come.
Yeah. By the way, she looks a lot like a dude.
Yeah, they shaved her head. She looks like a Manson follower for a second. And you're right. She does have very male-like traits. And the nice thing is even the broads in prison won't have much time for her, and they'll probably eat her up and spit her out.
Right, we hope so.
Yeah.
Or burn her penis, because she probably got one.
Or they could nicely, the way Arby's has delicious roast beef,
I
think they should steam that sucker just the same.
Seriously, dude?
Just the same. Delicious.
Steam her curtains?
Her curtains, yes. And I tell you what goes well with that, some horsey sauce and cinnamon. You never had Arby's horsey sauce? Oh, that's good. Delicious.
Katy Perry's at it again, crying about what happened with her and Russell Brand, saying that she spent 2 weeks in bed after she got the news about the divorce.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yep.
Are we
she
supposed
said it was
to
like
feel
being
bad
punched, for punched in the face. Mm-hmm. She said it was like being punched in the face, kicked down the stairs a couple of times.
Yeah. And
having your penis burned by your mother.
I'm not really going to feel bad for her at all. And plus, what she should be really crying about is that Russell Brand, for a BBC or some type of documentary done in Britain, he went to a public bathhouse there and got jerked off
jerked
some stranger.
Dude.
Jerked a dude to completion.
Dang.
That's what she should cry about.
That Jenny Garth also crying about her post-divorce dating practices, which she described as some weird type of torture.
Yes, I understand kind of. I'm glad Jenny is a free.
Jenny's hotter
woman.
Than hell right
She's
now.
She's hotter than hell.
Well,
I have
rebound.
To. I will say this. I understand because I seen her. I happen to know who her husband's with now. Who he's been dating for like quite some time. The new one's pretty fucking good too. So look out! Look out! It's just like half her age and everything. It's pretty smoking. This broad smoking. But Jenny Garth, pretty goddamn good for 41. I'm a big fan. And I'm available anytime.
Yeah, but she was one of those broads like that just, like, you know, walked around like she got hit in the head with an anvil after she got divorced. Like she just didn't know what to do.
Well, it was shocking. You know, and I guess Peter had his way with a couple of things there. And, you know. And again, they have kids, so that or a kid or kids or something like that. I don't know. It's just it's a mistake to get married.
And of course, everybody knows by now, Kanye West is engaged to Kim Kardashian, proposed there in San Francisco in a ballpark.
I didn't want to talk about this story because everybody's talking about. But here's the thing: the reason why this is a story is because he rented out. All of the ballpark there up in San Francisco in order to do this, thus, you know, raising the bar for men everywhere. And plus he throws down a 15-carat rock. The nice thing is this will one day end up in a terrifically spectacular divorce, and that's going to be the good thing.
You think the divorce will take place in the ballpark as well?
They get, I'll tell you what, be people lining up to see them battle it out because it's going to be an awesome,
referees
and awesome divorce. And I will say this. If Kanye West had half of a brain, he'd be hitting up the Hebrew Hammer. That's AdamLawyer.com.
Exactly. How dumb, though. I mean, you know, I mean, there are all kinds of ways, I guess, if you're going to get married, as stupid as it is, to propose. But to do it in a big fucking empty ballpark with all the fanfare and goofiness.
Well, it is
absolutely
it
ridiculous.
Is them. It really is them. You know, a lot
because
of,
you know them so well. You could. Just,
I do. I did get the invite. I was one of the people. What people don't know is I was one of the people in the stands. I got third row seats, which pissed me off. I've got to talk to Kanye about that. Because I expected front row. He gave me third fucking row for the engagement, but the party was good.
Oh, boy. Let's just go ahead and move on. We got a vid alert for you. Irina Shayk in a wet T-shirt. I don't know where this video comes from. But
it's the behind-the-scenes. They are screen caps from behind-the-scenes of her photo shoot with a thing called V Magazine. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It's putting more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary's Dino. Check out the podcast, GaryandDino.com. Brand new show every Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios of Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas show right after this.
Let's talk about El Pollo Inca. El Pollo Inca restaurant in Gardena is owned by our P1 listener, Antonio Atoche, and his brothers. And they serve the best Peruvian food you'll find anywhere, including their famous pollo a la brasa, which is delicious rotisserie chicken. And that's just a start. They've got tons of amazing beef, chicken, seafood, and vegetarian dishes, and a friendly staff. Get their special chicken soup complimentary with every meal, and man, is it good. Plus, get this, the soup is all you can eat when you're dining in. El Pollo Inca. On West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, right on the 91 at where the 110, 405, and 91 meet. Check out their full bar, offering specialty drinks like their killer Pisco Sour, a signature Peruvian cocktail. And don't miss their hard-to-find Peruvian beers. They've got karaoke on Thursday nights, salsa dancing Friday through Sunday nights, even salsa classes if you want to learn. Get info at this number, 310-516-7378, or visit elpolloinca.com. El Pollo Inca, 1425 West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, close to the 710 and minutes from the 605. Easy to get to, lots of free parking, no excuses. Get your ass out to El Pollo Inca in Gardena.
This is the new normal.